for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 24th, 2012. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Speak, Say, Declare, Proclaim, and Decree.
You dance over me while I am unaware, and you sing all around me, but I never hear the sound. No, I never hear the sound. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How you love me. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You dance over me while I am unaware, and you sing all around me, but I never hear the sound. Oh, I wanna hear the sound. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me, how you love me. I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How you love me, and how wide, Jesus, how deep, and how great, Lord, is your love for me, is your love for me. Oh, how wide, oh, how deep, and how is your love for me, is your love for me. I'm amazed by you, Jesus, amazed by you, amazed by you. How you love me, how you love me. And you dance over me, sing that with me, when I am unaware, you sing all around, and you sing all around me, but I never hear the sound, but I never hear the sound, no, I never hear the sound, I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How you love me, Jesus. I'm amazed by you. Jesus, I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you. How you love me. how you love me. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for your great love for us, Lord. And Lord, once again, we just come just to give thanks to you for the gift, the giver. We thank you, Lord, for the offering. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on our behalf, for what you gave to us so richly, Lord. And we ask you, help us to be people, Lord, who just even in this opportunity to give, Lord, we're people that we give richly, Lord. We just ask you for grace. We ask you, Lord, for a superabundance of grace and a work of your Holy Spirit, to Lord, that, Lord, we might give back unto you as you've given to us. We just thank you, Lord. Help us. Lord, we need your grace. We need the impact of your presence in our life. We thank you for that. We just ask that you just come. You bless this gift, this offering. We ask you bless Mom as she comes, that you give her an anointing. We ask you, Lord, for the anointing that breaks off yoke. But Lord, that we wouldn't have to go out, Lord, like we came in. That Lord, you would lighten our load, and Lord, that you might cause us, Lord, to trust you more. Thank you for your word, and we ask you to bless it, Lord, tonight as it's given. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come, Jerry, and just minister to us and bless us.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God dances over you and sings over you when you don't even know it? And that song, "You're All I Need, You're All I Need." Yes, you know what? I don't know about you, but that's being tested in my life. Have you noticed that some of the people that you want to love you the most, I thank God for Kyle. He loves me anyway. I told him coming down, I said, "You could tell me you hated me and I wouldn't believe it." But I'm always repenting. I asked him one day, I said, "So would you forgive me that I put you in that karate class when you were 4 years old?" And he said, "About 50 times, Mom." Anyway, ask your kids to forgive you because it makes them feel sorry for you. You know, when my son Todd was dying, you know, I God showed me all the mistakes I've made and over the years of missing people, and I said, "Oh, Todd, would you," and he was dying of AIDS, I said, "would you forgive me that I wasn't the kind of mother you could crawl up my lap and tell me you're sorry?" He said, "Oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how." He said, "I didn't want you to know my problems." But anyway, that's not the message. I tell you, I had so many messages tonight, and I read them all, and I thought, "Oh, Lord, my mind is totally blank. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." About 2 minutes. Didn't even have time to hardly look over it, but it doesn't matter. But I want to say, we know the world's in a mess, right?
Yeah.
And the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Master, tell us when it's the sign of your coming." And he said, "It will be just like the days of Noah." Well, we know there was a flood, right? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
And God said he'll never destroy the earth by flood again of water. Well, what kind of flood is it? Revelation 12 says the serpent poured forth water from his mouth like a flood against the woman, the church. Right now, the flood is coming over the airways, over the internet. Leviathan in Goliath is still speaking to us because Satan is still the prince of the power of the air. And he's still speaking over the internet and over the news media to put fear on the saints. And the saints are terrified about everything that's going on in the world. And I'm hoping this is going to be a word of encouragement to you. But Noah was in the ark, floating on the flood, right? And Noah was a type of Christ, right?
Yes.
Noah, the word Noah means rest.
Wow.
The Canaan land meant rest. And of course, they had a land to possess. And every time we overcome a giant in our land or we overcome an obstacle in our land, we rest in that area. And so we possess and rest and possess and rest, and sanctification takes a lifetime. We're not going to be totally sanctified till we get to heaven and God's going to jerk us into perfection. But he wants us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. He said, "Possess your vessel in sanctification and honor." I was ministering to a girl once, and we asked the Lord some question about her deliverance. Why did it take so long? And the Lord told her, it's like peeling an onion. you get a layer off, and then he'll show you something else. And you'll get that layer off, and he'll show you something else. But, you know, people that believe in an easy kind of a grace, and thank God it's grace, they think they get their ticket punched, and that's it. And they go to the world for answers. And let me tell you, you'll be destroyed when you do that. And so Noah means rest. Canaan land meant rest. Canaan meant rest. The promised land meant rest. And how you and I rest is to come unto Jesus, where he gives us an invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we are in Christ when we are wearing his yoke, coming under his control. Another way of saying it is being on the potter's wheel. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Does that mean you're perfect? Of course not. But it means you got a perfect heart that wants to be perfect, and you're yielding to him and saying, God, you're the potter. You're going to have to take this junk out. I can't do it. Now, if you're legalistic, you're trying to turn the potter's wheel and do it yourself. The clay, what does it do? It rests on the potter's wheel. And that's the place, the only place that we're going to be safe in these days. If we're on the potter's wheel, how dare anybody think that anybody can touch us if we are in the hands of the potter. Hallelujah. I want to tell you one big major reason why you fear in these days. One is that your parents didn't protect you. You had to protect yourself. And you look around what in the world this world's coming to. And I have to protect myself because God's just like my mom and dad. And I don't know how to do it. And I'm fearful. That's one thing. Another thing, you saturate yourself. The body of Christ is contaminating themselves, defiling themselves, putting seeds of fear in their spiritual garden by watching scary movies, putting witchcraft in themselves through watching all the occult things. Everything out there is geared toward programming you toward the one world order and toward the occult. And so whatever you're putting in your spiritual garden is producing fruit. I shared this with someone earlier. I used to have a terrible time getting in strife because I watched Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson movies. Kyle will tell you, I'm a different woman today than I was before. And I want to be changing every day. But that's really not the message. That's really not the message. Praise the Lord. The title of this message is, and I was just walking one day, and this just came to me. And I started just speaking in my telephone. And I got to the end of the road, the whole message was in my phone. I didn't know it came from God. And then I looked at it, and it didn't record. And so the next day, I was out walking again, and so I did it. So anyway, that's really where the message came, and it really was life-changing for me. It's called Speak, Say, Declare, Proclaim, and Decree. Speak, Say, Declare, Proclaim, and Decree. And I trust this word will be an encouragement to you. It has been me, to me. God's saints are terrified, living in fear, tormented because of the things that are coming across the news media. Goliath is taunting the saints, constantly telling us what he is going to do to us. Through the Agenda 21 and through the One World Order. And can I tell you, I'd be shocked if Obama didn't bring in the One World Order. But you know what? God says, if your ways please me, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I was so blessed by this the other day. Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says in verse 1, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. And you know this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, and his signs and his works which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. The other day, the revelation came to me. The children of Israel, no matter what they were under by the Egyptians, they just kept on multiplying. And, of course, they were put under harsh servitude. And not to say that some of that's not going to happen to us. But listen, God won't put anything on you that he don't give you the grace to go through. My grandmother Reddick said this to me. She said, "Honey, I had read the book of Job when I first became a Christian." And I said, "Oh, grandmother, I don't think I could go through what Job went through." And she said, "Honey, God won't let you go through anything that He doesn't give you the grace to go through." And that's true. He's not going to destroy you by what comes across this earth. It says in His signs and His wonders, hold your place and go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, I read this in 1982, and I said this was before my son died. He died in 1989. This was 7 years before he died. And the Lord gave me this passage to show me there was going to be something that would happen to Todd. God told me 7 years before it was going to happen that it was going to happen. And I wrote in my other Bible, "God, are you trying to tell me that this is something that's going to happen to Todd?" But basically, it goes on to say, because you said, verse 15, that he was living, this is Kyle's younger brother, lived a homosexual lifestyle and died in 1989. This was 7 years after God told me this. So God was already preparing my heart that something was going to happen. So when he got AIDS, I rejoiced because I thought, this is what's going to bring my prophet to attention. This is going to be the thing that God's going to use to make him that mighty man of God. I couldn't understand it why, when I realized he was going to die, I cried and 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 cried for about 2 weeks. And I cried because I thought God said he's going to be a mighty man of God, a mighty prophet of God, that he was going to be mightily used. And I cried because that I felt like I had missed God. That I did. I mean, I knew that I knew that I knew that God told me that. But then all of a sudden, he's going to die, and I missed. I didn't hear God right, and that was like an anchor to me. And I was crying because I didn't hear God. And of course, not knowing that he would be serving the Lord now, if since 89, 99, 2009, 22, 23 years, he's been serving the Lord through a video called Todd's Greatest Regret. And those of you who haven't seen it, go into YouTube and pull up Todd's Greatest Regret. But his testimony is going worldwide. Basically, he's saying, if you're living a homosexual lifestyle, it's not worth it. Repent. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. That was his favorite scripture. Anyway, God gave me this scripture, and it says in verse, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. It says, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for because you've said that, this, there's no judgment on my sin. It will not reach us when it passes by. And this was before AIDS was even known. It says, you'll say the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we have made falsehood our refuge, and we've concealed ourselves with deception. Isn't that what we do when we live in sin? We've made our refuge, falsehood has been our refuge. This is therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hell shall sweep away the lies. In other words, that scourge is going to remove the lies from his life. It says, and the waters shall overflow the secret place, and your covenant with death shall be canceled. So I got excited that whatever was going to happen to him, this covenant of death, the way he lived, was going to be canceled. It says, and your pact with Sheol shall not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become a trampling place. As often as it passes through, it will seize you. For morning after morning, it will pass through any time during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. And I can tell you, that's what AIDS is. I mean, you literally rot. He was blind in his eye. He had Kaposi sarcoma, which was cancer of the small blood vessels. His testicles swell up like this. He had herpes lesions around his rectum. He was literally rotting. And it says, and his feet were, he was wore a 10.5 shoe. His feet went to 13.5. And he weighed probably about 70 pounds. And it says, The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. He couldn't cover his feet because of neuropathy in his feet. For the Lord will raise up as Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task, and to work, his extraordinary work. And now do not carry on as scoffers, lest your fetters be made stronger. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts our decisive destruction on the earth. Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? In other words, the farmer doesn't keep plowing stuff up. It says, does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly, for dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over the cumin. But dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. See, God knows exactly how much pressure to put on you to keep you from breaking. Hallelujah. So he's not going to let you go through anything. He's not going to give you the grace to go through. It says, grain for bread is crushed indeed. He does not continue to thresh it forever because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who's made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. He asked me, with all of this rotting, he asked me a month before he died, Mom, do you think I'll have to suffer when I die? I said, honey, if you don't feel like you're suffering now, I doubt it'll be any worse. I couldn't imagine how brave he was. Someone said, Todd, if you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? He said, salvation is enough. Todd, if you could live or die, what would it be? He said, I want to go on and be with Jesus. Because the life he lived, trying to overcome that sin, he said, Mom, it's just been too hard. And that's to encourage you that whatever that's going to come on this earth, God is not going to put you through more than you can take. He's not going to damage you. But your ways have to please the Lord. And you know what pleases the Lord? Just being on the potter's wheel, full of junk, with all your mess, everything that's wrong with you, but a yielded heart is what pleases God. You don't have to perfect yourself through trying to fix yourself. You have to repent, of course. You have to do what God tells you. You have to let the Holy Spirit arrest you. But it's all by His grace. As Kyle shared and Carla shared, it's by God's presence in your life. He'll fix you, change you, mold you, make you into what He foreordained for you to be. And that's a praise. Okay, go back to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but some things jumped out at me when I was reading it. Verse 8, you shall therefore keep every commandment which I'm commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to the descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land in which you're entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt, from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. But the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year. And it shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. That's a picture of prosperity. And he will give grass in your fields for your cattle. You shall eat and be satisfied. Beware lest your hearts be deceived and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. The church has so many gods they don't realize they have. Television, movies. It is appalling to see how worldly the church has become. You can go to a wedding and they'll honor Christ at the wedding, but the wine is flowing. There's such a mixture out there. It's such a social gospel But God says there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Okay, it says in verse 21, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. As now, you think, well, that was just back then. It says, for as long as the heavens remain above the earth. Now, that's forever, isn't it? It says in Revelation that that Jesus will come. It says, after the stars fall from heaven, the moon quit shining, the sun quit shining, the stars fall from heaven. It says, after the tribulation of those days, then will come the coming of the Son of Man, and then he will catch you up to meet him in the air. So this is a promise for as long as the stars are in the heavens. Glory to God. That's a revelation to me. For if you're careful to keep all his commandments, which I'm commanding you to do it, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. And can I tell you, there's United Nations right here in our America. There's foreigners that want to take over. I love the scripture that says, foreigners, submit to me. The minute they hear my voice, they come trembling out of their fortresses. Hallelujah. If I'm living under God's shadow, guess what? Everybody in God's presence under his shadow gets changed, healed, and delivered. I see this as I pray, Lord, every day. Lord, I pray that I meet divine appointments. As I walk under your shadow, I pray that every person that I come in contact with will be a divine appointment. The other day I gave a little book to a dog customer and I said, now this book will tell you how you can know where you'll spend eternity. I said, you probably already know that. He said, no, I don't. I want to know. I led him to the Lord right out there in my driveway. Now that was a divine appointment. I didn't have to, I just passed out the word and God did the rest. And he wants to bring people into your life. Don't try to change the church structure because it is demonic. But Jesus was called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's to the lost. It's easier to talk to a dog customer than it is a church member. I'm serious. Their heart is open. I don't know. I want to know. Tell me. Well, I don't want to go to church with all those hypocrites. I say, you know, it's not about going to church. It's about a personal relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. Has nothing to do with the building.
Amen.
We always talk about church. We need to talk about who out there we can help. I was supposed to be teaching speech. Anyway, Lord, if this is your message, we're going to get back to that. Okay, 23. Then the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours because you're under God's shadow. You're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You have entered His chambers. You're walking the highway of holiness where no fool, no lion, no unclean can walk that way. And the highway of holiness for the righteous, the blameless, is to turn from evil. Every time you turn from evil and choose God's way, you're on the highway of holiness. Verse 25, this is what I love. There shall be no man be able and woman to stand before you, no nation, no tribe, no troop, no foreign army will be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the dread of you and the fear of you on all the land on which you set foot as he has spoken to you. And I can add, church members are afraid of you. It's because of the Spirit of God. The Bible says if they rejected Jesus, Jesus said, if they rejected me, they will reject you.
Right.
Religious folks, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I'm commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. And our big gods are TV, movies, internet, our little toys, our video games, our alcohol, our drugs. And this one, you gotta love me. Big idol in my life. You can't reject me. Amen. You might as well get used to it. I haven't got used to it yet. I'm still working on that one. Okay. So God's saints are terrified, tormented, full of anxiety. There are things out there. The fact is, it doesn't look good. But the truth is, God's word is forever settled in heaven. He watches over His word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever when everybody else is gone. His word is standing. The news media is a mouthpiece for the devil, and Goliath is taunting his saints, conservative and liberal. Do you know the conservatives that are not even Christian are speaking for the Christians? So many of these family research, so many of these groups, if you begin to investigate, they're not even Christian. They're pushing things, and it's a pathway to the one world order, one world religion. Conservative and liberal. They have to have the conservative side of the Illuminati and the liberal side of the Illuminati. It's all owned by the Illuminati, which is the highest satanic organization in the world. People are being programmed by the news media to be fear. Oh, he's going to do this. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, they're going to do that. It's time that we stood up to speak, say, declare, and proclaim to the devil and his wicked people what God is going to do to him.
Amen.
And Jesus, instead of saying, oh, what he's going to do to me, hey, it's what he's going to get. The Bible says God laughs because he sees their day coming. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that accuses us in judgment will condemn. And do we have authority to speak, say, declare, proclaim, and decree?
Yes.
But you know what? The name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, prosperity teachers really kind of clouded my view about that. And through this message, God showed me, hey, we can speak, say, proclaim, declare, and decree. We do have authority. Let's see what the Word of God says. Go to Revelation 12, verse 8. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony when they speak, say, declare, proclaim. And they love not their lives unto death. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He's doing that now. He's the prince of the power of the air, and we're so stupid to be listening to him.
Yeah.
You know what? We need to focus now. We need to focus on getting our hearts right with God so we'll be ready. Our prayers need to be focused on not trying to change this evil political system and this world system and these worldly church members, but focus on the saints and how we can help the saints, and pray for the saints all over the world, because all the saints all over the world are going to be affected by this. There's not going to be a person in the world that is not going to be affected by the one world government. It's bringing it under one world. In Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God night and day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now this last part, and they loved not their life even to death. That is left off.
A lot.
They overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. We live out, and we love not our life even to death. So looking at verse 11, there are three things in this verse that I want to talk about. One of them is left out, and they love not their life. And this key part is left out by the name it, claim it, prosperity people. And the key, and so we have authority to speak, say, declare, proclaim, and decree only when we're willing to lay down our life. What does it mean to lay down your life, to love not your life? It means forsaking all to follow Him. It means loving God more than your mother, father, sisters, brothers, children, or any human or thing. Matthew 10:32, go there, please. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth, but I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to be a sword. I came to bring a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you, you know that's right. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up, your life for me, you'll find it. Anyone who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. And Jesus was speaking to the crowd. His mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Matthew 24:47. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother's brothers. Anyone who does the will of God in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Our failure and defeat, most of my failure and defeat, is always with our idols. And I can say it's true of you. Wherever you have an idol, you'll be defeated. Wherever you have an idol, you'll fail. Wherever you have an idol, God will not let it work because he says, I love you so much, you will have no other gods before me. And it's painful to let go of idols. But Abraham took his only son up the mountain and was willing to put a knife to him when God said, oh no, Abraham, wait. Now I know you fear me more than you fear anything else. So we have to take everything up the mountain. Jonah 2:8 in the New Living Translation says, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I'll fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit out Jonah when he said, Lord, you alone. And so if Jesus said, my mother's brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, is those who hear the word of God and obey it, why should we have any other kind of attitude? And I'm not telling anybody. I'm not telling us we're not to love, we're not to walk in love, and I'm not saying reject them or cut them off. I'm not saying any of that. You do what God tells you to do. But I believe he's saying here, to love them so much that you don't compromise. There's got to be some plumb line of the word of God. Compromise is why they're in the mess they're in. Jeremiah 15 says that you will be my spokesman if you separate the holy from the profane. And more than likely, you don't have to separate from them. When you walk the narrow way, guess what? I think it's single file. And the closer you get to God, the more you walk with him, the fewer people there are to walk with you. I don't know why we don't get over that. I don't know why we still let it grieve us and hurt us that we're rejected. God says we'll be, but I keep trying to change that. Lord, forgive me. And you know what? I'd rather speak the truth if I never saw people I love again. Because I'd rather leave that kind of a heresy than, oh, she was a compromiser. Mealy mouth, compromiser. I want to be able to put something spiritual into their life that will last them throughout eternity. And so we have to separate the holy from the profane, whatever it costs, whoever walks with us, whoever doesn't walk with us, who leaves us, who forsakes us, whoever is not willing to walk the narrow way. But when we choose to walk the narrow way, there's going to be a separation. And probably the biggest and hardest thing to lay down is our mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, children. That's the hardest thing. The ones that we love the very, very most. The first part of that verse is the blood of Jesus. They overcame them by the blood of Jesus and the word of their testimony. At Calvary, it was already a done deal. So Jesus has paid the price, given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So we're not overcoming from a place of defeat. It's already been won. We just have to appropriate it, like Carla and Kyla said. It has to be appropriated. We have to walk in it. And as we walk in the Word, we get freer and freer. God changes us from glory to glory to glory to glory. And that's the only way to walk in these days, because let me tell you, if you're not dealing with your issues, it's going to work out like Carla said, a moth. It's going to eat away, deteriorate you. And you watch people that don't deal with their demons when they're older than me or they're older. You can see them bent over, bowed down, all distorted in their facial fissures, because you can look at their countenance and see how many demons are working in their lives. And that's not from saying a place of pride. It's by God's grace that you even know or want to please God.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray for everybody we love. We pray for the lost people, the lost children of the house of Israel. Send us divine appointments. From this day, Lord, let us use these last days to help your children, Lord, overcome in these last days. Let our focus, Lord, be on you, how we can help others, how we can help the needy, how we can do whatever, Lord, and not live for ourselves. 2 Peter 1:1, go there, please. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. He's already won the victory at Calvary. He's already given us everything pertaining life to life and godliness. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. God says, without holiness, no man will see God. And he makes you holy. You can't make yourself holy. Some of you are trying to turn the potter's wheel to make yourself holy. You can't. Just get on the potter's wheel and he'll pour the blood out and you will be holy in his eyes even though you're still a mess. Hallelujah. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, a big root to eye problems, is blind and cannot see far off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. So it says that God's already given us everything that we need to live for him. And his grace, the blood he shed at Calvary, has won the battle. Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers, making an open show of them, triumphing over them at the cross. Did you know that he uses the devil to execute vengeance for his covenant? You break his covenant and you got a demon problem. His covenant is if you love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body. This is the new covenant. Loving God and loving others fulfills the whole law. And so our issues are unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, which is all idolatry. All sin is, all iniquity is as idolatry and witchcraft, all rebellion. All of that's rebellion. And that's all idolatry. The name of Jesus has authority over the powers of the enemy to use that name and appropriate that blood. I have to be operating under his control. And Merle pointed this out to me recently. He shared with me about a big root to my eye problems was pride. And then I started looking up scriptures on meekness, and then I taught a message here. I had never been meek a day in my life. And it's something that you have to keep on putting on and die to your flesh. If I'm not putting on meekness or putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm operating under a spirit of pride and Leviathan if I'm doing it in my strength. It's only as I'm dead to me that the life of the resurrected Lord Jesus comes through. Then I can speak, proclaim, declare, and decree, because it's Christ in me that's speaking. And I'm not speaking from my own unction and from my own flesh. And you know, it always confused me because I've always had a boldness in my life. And it's always confused me. You know, the godly are as bold as a lion. Well, I didn't realize a lot of my boldness was fleshly boldness. And I still work on it. I have to be so careful because that's something that I have to really die to moment by moment. And so Jesus did nothing except what the Father told him to do. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And you know what? Your body, soul, and spirit. I never saw that comparison. If God's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are body, soul, and spirit. Right? And they're one. Jesus and God are one. My soul and my body are one. My human spirit, I'm one. And so in order for me to use the name and authority of Jesus, I have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for my flesh. Otherwise, I'm operating under a spirit of pride, a spirit of the flesh. It's not what I want anymore. It's got to be what God wants. And the yoke of Jesus is light and easy. Okay, the second part of that verse is they overcame him is the main point of this message. He's made, and go to Isaiah 49, verse 2. And if you can just see a mental picture of this chapter, it says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. And of course, I don't use physical weapons anymore. My sister said she saw herself with jungle boots and a machine gun in these days. I said, oh, no, no, no. Hey, we fight with spiritual weapons. It said, he's made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, now just think about this in these days. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, concealed me, and he's made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Can't you see God's quiver? And you're an arrow in his quiver. Can you get that picture? He's made your mouth like a sharp sword, and he's concealed you with the shadow of his hand, and he's hidden you in his quiver. Okay, it says, but I said, I've toiled in vain. Oh, well, verse 3. He said to me, you're my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. And, of course, we are the Israel of God today. But I said, I've toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is from God, with God. And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, you were formed from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. And that's the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the people that are going to come to know God and the people in the church who know God. It says, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel, I will also make you a light to the nations. Did Jesus say, I'm the light of the world? He said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. If you're walking in the light, you're going to have fellowship with other people that are walking in the light. He says, I'll make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Even if a foreign army comes against you, your purpose is to lead them to the Lord. That's your purpose, is to save the enemy, because God loves them too. Look at Joseph. He was thrown in prison. Guess what? Look how he saved the children of Israel and how Pharaoh raised him up to be second in Israel. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. How the lions didn't even bite him, didn't even touch him. How Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery, flaming furnace. And there was no even smoke on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. So whatever God, wherever God has you, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The angel of the Lord guards and rescues all those who reverence the Lord. So our part in these days is to get all the ground that the enemy has had in our lives so we don't have any open doors for the enemy to attack us in these days. It's going to be too late in the thicket of the Jordan if we're falling down in a land of peace. And you can't run with the footmen. What are you going to do in the thicket of the Jordan? You won't be able to run with the horses. God's putting us through things so that we can help the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When we're in the thicket of the Jordan, we'll be able to help them because we're being strengthened by all the stuff that we go through. God is conforming us into his image. And he's shaking loose everything that's shakable. It says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise. Princes will bow down to you, saints, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel. Didn't they bow down to Paul when he was a prisoner on the ship to Tarsus? He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ on the ship of on this ship going to Tarsus, and the ship started going down, and he saved the whole crew. And all of a sudden, the ship crashed, and then a snake bit him, and he shook it off, and they were exalting him as a god. He never wanted that. You see, when you're walking under God's shadow and in His covenant, you are His ambassador. And nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And if He allows it, He has a divine mission for you. He has a plan. And it's not to serve yourself. It's to live for Him. He says, princes, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who's chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I've answered you, and in a day of salvation I've helped you, and I'll keep you and give you for a covenant to the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Saying to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves along the roads that they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. And God has caused your mouth to be like a sharp sword. Now, I've had a sharp sword mouth, and it wasn't God causing it. It was demonic, coming out of generations of people that had a sharp tongue. That's not the kind of a sharp sword He wants us to be. We have to be under a spirit of meekness. And that's something I'm working on right now. And I'm not passing the test every day, but I'm sure trying. And so, Lord, I ask You to do a work in all of us that we won't speak a word unless You tell us. I pray You'll put on us a spirit of meekness. We choose to put it on. Remind us to put it on every second. And so so many times the other side of that, we think that to follow God, we have to be peacekeepers. Just don't get mad. I'll do whatever you say. I'll just let you yoke me up. You can be my taskmaster. Just don't get angry. I walk on eggshells to try to keep you peace. For 27 years, I was in a marriage where I had to walk on eggshells because if I made him mad, it would be like 2 months that he'd be mad at me. So you walk on eggshells because you don't want to make anybody mad. That's being a peacekeeper. A peacemaker will speak the truth in love, and they may fall down, foam at the mouth, and have a kick fit. But if they love God, they're going to change. And if they don't, they'll waste your time. And Jesus said He didn't come to bring peace, but He came to bring a sword. And so many times I hear people say, oh, just love them. Just love them. In other words, don't rock their boat. Don't rattle their cage. Don't make them mad. Tell them what they want to hear. Just love them. And the people that say that don't know the first thing about love. Sometimes it takes a greater love to be willing to give them up and never see them again, to say something to them that would keep them out of hell. It's not fun. And you know what? When I read that scripture, I thought, I don't like being a sword. But you are. You are. He didn't come to bring peace, but He came to bring a sword. We have to make sure that that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, speaking it in love. And we have to make sure that we're under God's yoke, dead to our flesh, under His yoke. It says in, I think it's the last chapter of Psalms, with the high praises of God in my mouth, and a two-edged sword in my hand to execute vengeance against the nations, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with iron. And that's what I need to be doing in these days. So we have the authority to speak, say, proclaim, declare, and decree. Okay, I'm just going to give you some scriptures, not read all of these, but give you scriptures. If Jesus is the Word and speaking the Word, we represent God, we must not be representing ourselves. Exodus 4:16. Moreover, He shall speak for you to the people, and He will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Speaking of Moses. as a king of priests were to speak. Exodus 19:5. And then if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then Psalm 50 says, the wicked cannot declare his statutes. Psalm 50:16, but unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or what that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? In other words, you can't even take my covenant in your mouth if you're wicked. Over and over, Moses as a priest is told to speak to the congregation of the sons of Israel, Leviticus 19. Moses was to bless the children of Israel. Numbers 6:23. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, oh, this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. There's a power in blessing. When I bless somebody, the grace of God is imparted to that person to carry out what I bless. If I curse a person, then the demons are collected that person to carry out what I've cursed. And so, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us for everybody we cursed on the way down here. We repent, Lord. God, we ask you to work that out of us where we speak nothing but blessings upon your children. And when you're blessing people, don't bless the wicked with prosperity. Don't bless the wicked with health and vitality. Don't bless them with success and victory. Bless them with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, excellence, repentance, the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin. Don't bless them with blessings that make them feel good. Bless them with character traits, godly character traits. And then the grace of God is imparted to carry out what you bless. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and you know he struck it, and he didn't enter the promised land. So who do we think we are? That's kind of scary. And we better be sure that God says to us before we say God says. Deuteronomy 18:20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a work in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. There's a lot of false prophets that are under the spirit of death because of the words they speak. Don't say God said unless you know he said. You better say, I believe God is saying. That's a little safer. We're to speak wisdom. Psalms 49:3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. We're to speak and tell of his wonders. Psalms 105:2. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak all his wonders. Hallelujah. There's so many scriptures. And there's time to speak. Ecclesiastes is a time to speak, a time to die, a time to be birthed. Time to keep silent. We are foreordained to speak. Jeremiah 1:5-7. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. See what we need to be doing in these last days instead of cowering down in fear. Oh, they're going to get us any minute. Quit looking at things that are planting seeds of fear in your life. Seeds of murder. Seeds of witchcraft. It's kind of like we're loaded up with stuff. And we come to a seminar and we get rid of stuff. We get rid of demons. So we go home and sit in front of the TV. Or we go home and look at a CD. Or we go home and look at a movie. Or we go home and listen to the demonic music. And we just put all that stuff back. It is impossible to live a holy life and be contaminating yourself with the world. God says, come out. And if you're tempted, it's because of lust down in your heart. The Word says God didn't tempt you. If you're tempted by anything in the world, it's because of the lust that's in you. Paul said that it's sin in my members that makes me sin. It's stuff that's down there in my heart. What comes out my mouth, it comes from the heart. What is up here in my thought life comes up from the heart. The heart is deceitful and wicked, and we don't even know what we got in our heart. Yeah. Till it comes out our mouth or up into our thought life, or we're lusting after it. Fear of the faces of men will cause us to be confounded. Jeremiah 1:17. Therefore gird up your loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. You know, how can you do that when you meet an enemy? Love him so much you're telling him about his stuff. He's trying to kill you. Don't you know that if you kill me, you're going to go to hell? Say, don't you know that God loves you? And show, you know, if we're walking in love, even our enemies can feel love because they probably never had it. I've heard of people, women that were on the verge of being raped, and they would remind the rapist of God, and the rapist would flee. His words in our mouth will be a fire burning up the wicked. Jeremiah 5:14. The word is a fire and a hammer that breaks rockets, the word says. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I'll make my words in your mouth fire, and the people wood, and it shall devour them. Glory to God. When we speak God's word, we deliver our soul. Ezekiel, I don't know if you know this. If you don't speak God's word, their blood's on your hands. But if you do speak God's word, this passage says that you deliver your soul. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speaking to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And there's no need to be concerned about what you're to speak. The Holy Spirit will give it to you right when you're supposed to speak it, because you're the arrow, and if you're submitted, he pulls it out and shoots. Wow. Glory to the Lord. Matthew 10:19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Can you imagine facing an enemy and they feel nothing but love from you, and you're not thinking about your own skin? You're thinking about, hey, I am a servant of God, and I have a divine purpose, and I'm on a divine mission to win them to Christ, or to love them, or be different. You see, God causes those setups to put you in situations that He wants you to be of the light of the world. A testimony. It says in Matthew that in the end times, the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And it says that if you lead many to righteousness, it says in Daniel 12, I believe, that if you lead the many to repentance and the many to righteousness, you will be like the stars that shine in heaven. What a promise. Oh God, I want to be that person. But you might make Grandma mad, or you might make Grandpa mad. But you know what? I'd rather make them mad than make God mad. Okay? Who can speak? Psalms 102. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Paul didn't speak in human words of wisdom, but with the Holy Spirit's words and the Holy Spirit's power in 1 Corinthians 2:13. Ambassadors speak for their authority. And I think it was Frank Butler that was here that said when we're an ambassador that goes into a foreign country, he has diplomatic immunity. So if you're an ambassador of Christ, wherever you are, you have diplomatic immunity in the Spirit. And as Kyle sang that song, God dances over you. He sings over you. His eye is on you. He never takes His eyes off you. You say, but, you know, I had a mother and daddy that never didn't even know I existed. Their eye was never on me. You see what a perverted image of God that you get? It's just a lie. God loves you. He's nothing like your mother and father. He's perfect. Our speaking is to please God and not men. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Sound doctrine can be spoken with authority. Titus 2:1. Blessed, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Don't be hurt when you're disregarded. Expect it. I've been trying to change that. Make sure you're speaking from God and not from your own flesh, James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's a command to say to the heathen and the nations, the Lord reigns. Psalms 96:10, say among the heathen, the nations, that the Lord reigns, and let them see that He's reigning in your life, and it'll make an impression. The world also shall be established, that it should not be moved. You shall judge the people righteously. And then encourage the saints with the word of God. Hebrews 13:6. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Jesus said, Don't fear man, fear God who can kill your body and soul and put it in hell. They can just kill you physically. And I must speak what God says, or it's a fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. We're to say, who scattered Israel will gather him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Jeremiah 31, 9:10. Say to the mountain and it moves. Matthew 21, 21. Who do we declare to? We declare among the people, to the heathen, to the isles, the house of Jacob, to Judah, brethren, and to those of our children who will be born, so that they might declare to their unborn children. I'll declare, and that's Psalms 22:22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall yet be born, that he's done this. What do we declare? We declare His doings, His statutes, His name, His righteousness, His glory, His mighty works, His acts, His wonders, His praise, and what He's done for my soul. Psalms 9:11, Psalms 22:22, 31, Psalms 66:16, Psalms 96:3, declare His glory among the heathens, His wonders among all people. Psalms 97:6, the heavens declare His righteousness and all the people see His glory. Declare the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1. When approaching an enemy to fight, speak peace. Explain Deuteronomy 20:10. When thou comest nigh unto the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. How do I proclaim peace? I proclaim peace by letting the Prince of Peace rule me, because when I walk in, I'm under His shadow. And His shadow brings peace. His presence is His shadow. Don't proclaim your goodness, Proverbs 26. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Proclaim liberty to captives, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prisoners to them that are bound. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Isaiah 61:2. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And kings make decrees, and we are kings and priests. Ezra 6:3, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations there be strongly laid. We can decree salvation over people's lives. Job 22:28. If you lay your gold in the dust and you remember the Almighty is your gold, you can decree a thing, and those who do not deserve to be saved will be saved by the cleanness of your hands. By the cleanness of your hands. How do I get my hands clean? If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you confess. As kings, we reign with Christ and are seated in the heavenly places with Him. Proverbs 8:15, by me kings reign. Ascend to the throne and induct into royalty. And princes, an honorable ruler, decree an edict declaring a permanent law, justice, what is right, moral, legal, according to God's law. We must decree God's law and not our own. Isaiah 10:1, woe, alas, used in lamenting a person's death, unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievous trouble, laborious, toiling doctrines, which they have prescribed. Many presidents, before they come out of office or when they're in office, they decree all kinds of unrighteous decrees. And there's so many right now that if we listened to everything, we could be horrified. But my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Man is but dust. So let's tell Goliath where to go and what God's going to do to him. And let's quit cowering down in fear. Because you see, if the devil knows that if he can get us out of our position of authority and get us cowering down in fear, which is the opposite of faith, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Not a spirit of slavery, but a spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We need to quit judging by what our eyes see and our ears hear. And personally, since this election, I delete most, unless you write me a personal email, I delete 99 9/10% of them. They're just blowing and going and saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Nobody ever does nothing. So, I'm not listening to it anymore. I'm cutting it off. So, the facts are, it looks pretty bad. But the truth is, God is still on His throne, and His plan and purpose cannot be thwarted. Glory to God. I hope this encouraged you. It did me. Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you where you've compromised, where you're living in fear, what you need to clean up, what you need to repent of. Father, in the name of Jesus, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me, Lord, what I need to repent of. Forgive me for fear of man. Fear I'm going to be killed. Forgive me for defiling myself with demonic movies and cartoons and TV and toys and video games and the world. Debauchery, adultery, pornography, compromise. What else, Lord, do I need to repent of? I want to be running with the horsemen in the thicket of the Jordan. I want to grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory, Lord. Forgive your mother and father for not being there, for abandoning you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because God's not going to abandon you like they did, but you will feel abandoned until you forgive them. Lord, I choose to come under your control. Lord, I just jerk them up on your potter's wheel. I yield my life 100% to you. No holding back. My times are in your hands. You watch over your word to perform it. You scheduled every day of my life before I was born. My steps are ordered by you. The angel of the Lord guards and rescues me. Lord, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I abide under your shadow and protection. Forgive me for being afraid. Forgive me for allowing the news media, the internet, to program me. Forgive me for allowing myself to be programmed by movies. You know, a lot of these movies that are out there are foretelling what they're going to do. And so, Lord, thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. You watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, help me live each day in such a way that my ways please you, so that even my enemies will be at peace with me. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that whatever I have to face, I will face it as your ambassador, with your love, with your purpose, your eternal purpose, that I won't be afraid of what's fixing to happen to my skin, but I'll be more interested in what your purpose is for me to speak, to say, declare, proclaim, and decree your word. Lord, I don't like being a sword. I want to bring peace. I've been a peace keeper instead of peacemaker. Lord, there's blood of many people on my hands because I've been afraid to speak the truth in love. And Lord, forgive me for saturating myself with scary movies, letting the seeds of evil, defilement, corruption, sex, perversion, lust, hostility, anger, bitterness, murder, witchcraft, seeds of violence and strife and lust. Forgive me for planting that down in my heart. Lord, I pray that you will reprogram me with your word. Give me a hunger for your word, Lord. Lord, show me how to live in these days so I can go out in a blaze of glory. Yes, Lord. And Lord, help me be prepared. Help me to help others. Help me to get my life right with you. I thank you that nothing can touch me unless you allow it. And if you allow it, it's a Joseph thing, or a Daniel thing, or a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thing. And you know King Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw them, that there was no smoke, they weren't burned. Can't you see him at the door of that furnace saying, "Come out of there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's no God like your God." He said that. Had they cowed down to his idol, he wouldn't have said that. And let me tell you, a lot of people don't change because we got to change first. Yes. Amen. So we just come against the spirit of fear, anger, bitterness, hatred, violence, adultery, fornication, addiction, timidity, shyness, torment, hysteria. Lord, you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I take the sword of the Spirit and I break that yoke of slavery off their necks. In Jesus' name. Lord, I want to clean myself up, clean my house up, get everything out of your house that is not pleasing to the Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. And we want to tell you, devil, that you and all your wicked cohorts are going to end up in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. And you cannot touch us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.